Scientists here at Michigan State University have produced some thought-provoking new research on the effectiveness of groups, specifically environmental action groups. The findings indicate that the size of a group can dramatically influence how successful the group's actions are. Dr. Django Jack Liu holds the Rachel Carson Chair in Sustainability at MSU and is the director of the Center for Systems Integration and Sustainability, and he joins us now to talk about the study and its implications. Welcome to Current State.
My pleasure. Thank you.
As simply as you can, what were you trying to learn in your study?
What we're trying to learn is that to see how effective different group size will affect the environment outcome. In our case, we use the Onan Nature Reserve, which is a nature reserve for pandas. The endangered species were well known in China. Mm-hmm. And to protect the forest, and which is part of the important habitat for the pandas, and the government provides subsidies for the local households to monitor the forest. And so they send the forest parcels to different households to monitor them. If they can be protecting the forest, and then they will get a certain amount of the money from the government. If they don't, they will get punishment. So those households were assigned different parcels of forest to monitor. So you have households who could be different group size. You know, some household, you have two households as group, three or four or five, up to 16 households as a group. So what we found was when the group size is in the middle, like nine households as a group, then the forest outcome is the most optimal, means the forest is most protected.
So not too many people at work and not too few people at work, basically.
Right.
And is there implications from your study for other organizations? Is there a formula, for example, that you may have come up with for determining the optimal size of a workforce?
Yeah, we think this research has broad implications for other types of groups, other types of organizations. Even in the classroom, like at Michigan State University, for example, if you have student research project, if you send too many students in the project, then some students may take advantage of other people. Say they are free riders. They don't do much work, but they still get credit.
Right.
If you have too few people in the project, then they don't have enough manpower to get the project done effectively.
It's interesting you embarked on this study when the jobless rate in the United States and Michigan remains stubbornly high. Arguably, a lot of companies and organizations have been short-staffed for a number of years. Would you advise them to look into your findings?
The research could have some implication for their organizations as well. If you have too many people, some people may not work as hard as they should be, and so they are free riders. If you have too few people, then the companies may not be able to accomplish the jobs they want to accomplish.
Tell us a little bit more about the setting here, though. This was in China at a nature preserve where pandas are monitored very closely. What part of the country? And tell us a little bit more about the families involved.
Yes. Our study site is in the southern west part of China, Sichuan Province.
Sichuan.
Yes, mm-hmm. Sichuan Province. It's in a rural settings, and the households require local resources like a forest to support their families, and they are farmers mostly, but they also rely on the forest as a fuel wood, and which is a major energy source to cook food and to heat up the houses in the wintertime.
Okay. And is this the location where all of the panda population is centered? Is all of the world's population of pandas in Sichuan?
Sichuan is the major home to pandas in the wild. And there are two other provinces in China also have some pandas, but Sichuan has the highest number of wild pandas. And also, this is the location that provides pandas to many zoos around the world. Like the pandas in Washington Zoo come from this panda reserve. The pandas in San Diego Zoo actually also come from this nature reserve.
Did the participants in the study understand what you were trying to study? Did they understand what they were a part of there?
I think they understand what they need to do, but they actually not in the beginning was not aware of what we're trying to start them, because if they will, they may behave differently.
Okay.
No, that's and they know to protect the forest, they can get some money from the government, and but also they know if they spend too much time and it's not worthwhile. So that's how this group behavior is important to study, and then how to make them more effective in the meantime, save money.
But the study was not about, you were using a setting where there are panda populations, but you were really studying human beings, not the pandas.
Right, yes, but it has implication for the pandas, because if the forest is well protected, then the panda habitat will be protected, because pandas depend on the forest as a habitat.
Just to clarify a word that we hear so much of mm-hmm. these days that mm-hmm. some people may not fully understand, what exactly, how do you define sustainability?
Sustainability is the ability of the environment or socioeconomic to maintain a good condition for a long time. So I will emphasize the long time, the time frame for a long time. That's an important phrase.
Of all of the settings to study this, what made you choose this area in Sichuan?
Yeah, so
seems like you could have studied a lot of different places for this. Why did you choose that one?
Right. So this has a long story, and we have been doing research in this area for 17 years. So in the beginning, what I'm trying to do is to provide solutions to protect the pandas. As you know, many people have studied the biology of the pandas, which is important. So how many baby pandas can a mother panda can have, and how much bamboo a panda can eat. All those kind of things are important. But the critical thing is the human impact. And the panda habitat were distracted by human activities. If we don't understand, we don't have solution to this problem, then pandas cannot be saved. So that's why we chose this reserve, because there are a lot of people inside the reserve. This is different from natural reserves in the U.S. or other developed countries. In China, as in many other developing countries, most of the natural reserves actually have local people in it, because they have been there for generations. And once the government established a natural reserve, sometimes the government is trying to move those people out of the natural reserve, but those people don't want to move out. They have been there for many, many generations. They're used to the local environment.
I'm thinking of wildlife in Africa
right.
as well. Does your study have implications for managing wildlife and native populations of animals in Africa as well?
Yes. Yes,
yeah.
Because this
it
is I think the main thing is to see how humans interact with the environment. So that's I think important. In Africa, people also need to use local resources. When they use local resources, they will have impact on wildlife habitat. And actually, we applied this research approach to Nepal, the tigers.
Oh, yeah.
And tigers, how tigers interact with people, how people activities affect the tiger habitat. And one of my students actually published a very interesting paper last year, and found out that actually sometimes people and tigers can coexist, but the people affect the tigers by force the tigers to be more active during the night when people are not that active during the night.
I see.
So even though they share the same place.
How did you get into this line of work?
Yeah, I'm always fascinated by the nature, but also I was concerned how nature is affected by human activities. So I was hoping to find solutions to address the challenges that nature is facing, how people can benefit from the nature in the meantime, can protect the nature, and so that we can maintain sustainability, so make the nature to be in good condition for a long time.
How long have you been the Rachel Carson Chair at Michigan State?
For 9 years. Since 2004, yes.
And how long do you intend to stay the Rachel Carson chair?
Forever.
That's quite a sustainable situation.
Yeah, sustainable,
is what
yes.
we call that. Yeah. What is Rachel Carson's heritage? Is there sufficient awareness of what she did?
Yes. Rachel Carson is was an environment pioneer. And actually, she really was a major player to push the environment movement in the U.S. Mm-hmm. and actually in modern environment movement in general around the world. Her famous book, Silent Spring, actually was a landmark publication.
Without a doubt.
Right, yeah. Which increased the awareness of people. But also she suffered a lot of resistance and criticism from people who did not understand her work. And also her work will have impact on some industry which may affect their short-term economic return. But in the long run, her work will benefit those people and the environment for a long time.
Very good. Dr. Yeah. Django Jack Liu holds the Rachel Carson Chair in Sustainability here at Michigan State University. We've been talking about his study about the effectiveness of groups related to their sizes. Thank you, Dr. Liu.
My pleasure. Thank you.